Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. God bless you. We want to welcome you tonight to When Passion Meets Purpose. So glad that you decided to join us. We do give God glory for you on tonight and thank him for your life, for sustaining all of us, just for keeping us, providing a way for us. Aren't you glad about it on tonight? Well, listen, we are going to spend these next 30 minutes looking over into the Word of God, and particularly and specifically at Psalm 103, we're going to pull a few verses from that passage of Scripture to encourage your hearts tonight. Let's just look to the Lord. God, we thank you and we bless you on tonight. Please let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our strength. You are our Redeemer. Amen. Well, listen, I believe that we're richer than we think. We're more blessed than we know, and we have more than we realize. And I thank God for that. And I didn't coin that. It was a brother by the name of Ray Pritchard that coined that phrase, but I certainly agree with it. I want us to take a look at Psalm 103 because it does tell us about our God who's rich in mercy. And I like the fact that he's made it such that our sins have been separated from us. You see, God forgets some things that we just cannot forget. There are things that we can't forget and God can't remember. How about that? He separates our sins from us as far as the east is from the west, the scripture gives us to know there in Psalm 103. But one thing I'm glad about, as we start there at verse 10 in Psalm 103, it tells us that he hasn't dealt with us, you know, according to our sins. He hasn't dealt with us the way that we would deserve it. And we thank God. Thank God for that, you know. He remembers that we are just dust, and he looks on us with an everlasting love, and we thank God. We bless God. You know, I was looking at several different excerpts of stories tonight as I was preparing, and there's some things I want to share with you that I found really encouraging and uplifting. So I'll share those as we go along. But look at Psalm 103. As I said, it starts there talking about him not dealing with us after our sins in verse 10. He didn't reward us according to our iniquities, but look, even as high as the heaven is above the earth, and as far as the east is from the west, God has separated our sins from us. You know, so great is his mercy toward those that fear him. And as we fear him tonight, and that's a fear in a good way, in meaning that we reverence him, we look to him, you know, that he pitieth those who are his children. And those who fear him, he knows. The scripture says he looks upon us and he knows that our frame is weak. He knows that we are but dust. He knows that we have fragile written all over us. It says, as for man, verse 15, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. So that's not something really to cause us to become unnerved, but God wants us to just rest in him and know that even though our time is fleeting, you know, none of us is here to stay, but our time is fleeting. But God wants us to know that his mercy is from everlasting to everlasting to those that fear him, and his righteousness even unto our children's children, if we will just keep his commandments and teach them to do the same. I was looking at something that I found very interesting, very uplifting, like I said. It was a story of a little boy who was lost. And I think at one point Billy Graham, in one of his sermons, told this story. But it told about a little boy who was in a town in England, northern England, and he was on the streets, and a police officer who was shining his light in the darkness heard this little boy whimpering and crying and sobbing, and he saw him sitting in the shadows on a doorstep, and the little boy asked him, you know, can you help me? He said, please help me, I'm lost. So this police officer started naming all kinds of streets, trying to help this boy to remember where he lived. He named all kinds of shops, all kinds of hotels, everything that he could to give this little fella a clue. But then the officer remembered that at the center of this town, there was a church, and on the top of that church was a large white cross. And that large white cross could be seen from anywhere in the town, anywhere in the rest of the city. So the policeman pointed to the cross, and he said to the little boy, do you live anywhere near that place? Do you live anywhere near there? And he was pointing to the cross, and that little boy's face immediately brightened up. And he said, yes, sir, if you can just take me to the cross, I can find my way home. And I thought that was so uplifting, and that's what it was written to be. It was uplifting, is that all we have to do is just believe. If we would just believe and find our way to the cross, we'll find our way home to God. You know, so God is so good to us, but I thought that was a great, great story, a great analogy. The reality is that God is so rich in mercy toward us. He sent his son for us. Someone has said that life without Christ is a hopeless end, but life with Christ is an endless hope. Isn't that wonderful that with him we have hope, and we have a hope that fades not away. It will not fade away. That's what we want to leave with our young ones, our children, our next generation, and the generations to come, those of us who know Christ. That's why I placed it in our statement for tonight's lesson, that we're richer than we think. Yeah, and that we're more blessed than we know, and we have more than we realize, because with all that God has given to us, we don't have to worry about things that we leave to our children, but we can leave them a great inheritance and a great heritage in the Lord, something that is greater than these houses and land that we have, greater than any insurance policy, because sooner or later that money's going to run out. But certainly we have a godly heritage. You know, we have lives that are wrapped and hidden in truth, in the truth of God, and we can teach our children and our children's children how to pray to a true and a living God, a God who will answer prayer, a God who is faithful, a God who forgives, a God who has unfailing love. And so we thank God for that on tonight. as I looked there in Psalm 103, I was thinking about, we read up to, like, I think verse 16 there, for the wind passes over it and it's gone, speaking of our lives, and the place thereof shall know it no more. Look at that at verse 17. There's a but. Think about, but God, but God. That verse 17 starts with a but, and that but changes everything. It says, but the mercy of the Lord, even though our lives are fragile, even though we're only here for a small period of time in the grand scheme of things, and then we suddenly disappear, even though that happens, it says, but God, the mercy of God is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. We can have the confidence that God will look upon our children and our children's children. And I think it's a wonderful thing when we remember that, because somehow as we think about ourselves as the flower of the field, as those scriptures give us to know, he knows how we're formed. We're just dust. God knows that. The scriptures say he remembers that we are dust. You know, we're like grass. It flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, it's gone. That place is remembered no more. But God remembers us. I'm saying that I want you to be encouraged tonight. Those perhaps who have lost loved ones, it's not the end. You know, we can be excited about the goodness of the Lord because, you know, for the saint of God, this is not the end of all things. As a matter of fact, this is only a point in time, time that does not end. You know, our God is eternal. This is a point in time, but we're moving on to eternity. I'm thinking about the fact that we are fast approaching fall, and I began to think about what a beautiful time of year it is. I love the fall. And we are preparing now for a getaway for our women in ministry, which we host every year. But one thing about it, one of the places that we go near the mountainous area, you know, the leaves begin to turn colors. The foliage on the trees is so beautiful as you drive through the mountainous regions, and you can see all of the greenery turning to bright oranges and yellow and, you know, red and crimson and just gorgeous colors. And I love the colors of the fall season. You know, just so beautiful. You know, unimaginable. All the different bright bursts of color in every possible shade that we could imagine. But as I began to think about this, wow, you know, this season is about to change soon and we're going to be able to see these bright colors again. And what's happening, you know, on the horizon as the seasons change, you know, it brought back to my remembrance that, you know, the leaves are changing for a reason. Why do they lose their color, their green color? Well, there's a scientific explanation that goes along with it, because I remember in school we had to pick leaves from the trees and we had to put them in between wax paper and do all these things for science projects. But we know that the green within the leaves comes from the chlorophyll. You know, our trees give us oxygen. But the chlorophyll being lost from the leaf causes the leaf then to gradually die, because the leaves fall from the trees and they begin to lose that green color. It simply means that those leaves are slowly dying. But I want you to think about this. You know, they're slowly dying, but they're becoming so beautiful in that process, so beautiful that people will drive for miles just to enjoy the scenery of the changing of the leaves. But those leaves are actually in a process of dying, and they'll gradually fall from the trees, and they'll dry up, and they'll be raked up, and they'll be put in piles, and they'll be taken away, and they'll be burned, or whatever else is going to happen to them. But what I want us to think about is the beauty in those leaves is coming from the process of their dying. You know, the beauty comes in the death process. And I was reminded of the fact that Scripture talks about our lives being so fleeting, But at the same time, the scripture gives us to know that we're to die daily, and Christ is to be exemplified in our lives. You know, he is the light of our lives. He is what causes individuals to, you know, look upon our lives and see that there's something different. The beauty, whatever beauty there is in the walk that you have with Christ, is really about him and not about us. You know, the beauty is brought out as we are decreasing and Christ is increasing. I don't want to use the word, well, I guess I can say we're slowly dying, because we are to die daily. And that doesn't mean your natural death, but certainly spiritually we die daily, that Christ, you know, would become more prominent in our lives. But I think it's so wonderful that as each leaf falls and then it goes on to the next phase, you know, they lose that beautiful color, they dry up, whatever, but it returns to the soil from whence it came. And it's a process. It's a process that continues. And it's a beautiful thing that God has designed for life, the cycle of life, and that we don't need to fear. You know, he knows our weaknesses. He understands our fears. When we are weary and feel like we can't go on, he's there for us. He builds us up, and he causes us to stand, even in the midst of great adversity. You know, I think about the fact that the scripture tells us that the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. That's found in Proverbs 28. But see, God's love holds us up, bears us up, so that we don't have to fear, you know, so that we can know that God's mercy endures forever, so that we'll know that God doesn't deal with us as our iniquities would warrant or as we deserve. But he is a great God, and there's great magnitude in the love that he has for us. So what I want to say to us tonight is I want us to consider the magnitude of God's love. I want you to consider the greatness of God's love, that as far as the heavens are above the earth, you know, so great is his love for those that fear him. This is back to verses 11 and 12. As far as the east is from the west, start driving west. When you just keep driving west, or if you're west, if you were to start driving east and just continue to go as far as you can go, and until you can't go anymore, and it's the only reason why you can't go anymore is not because it runs out, but it becomes, you know, infinite water, and you can't go any farther. Well, you can get on a boat, you can continue to go, but the reality is scripture is bringing out that you never get to the end. You're never going to come to the end. And so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west. So God is amazing. If we talk about as far as the heavens are above the earth, the nearest star is only 4 light years away from us. That's 4 years traveling at the speed of light. The speed of light is 186,000 miles per second. That is amazing. So even the nearest star is a great, great distance away from the earth. But the scripture says, as far as the heavens are above the earth, infinite, so great is his love for those who fear him. You know, the thing is, God loves us more than we could ever know. You know, he blesses those who don't even believe upon him. He blesses them. Everything that we have come from him. You know, he's more ready to forgive than we are to be forgiven. Sometimes we can't forgive ourselves, but God is ready to forgive us. Think about his great love toward us. Think about his mercy. When we forget to pray, he doesn't just throw us away and forget about us. He remembers to feed us that day, to make provision for us that day, to clothe us. He still hears our cry. You know, when we forget to tell him thanks, he'll still be faithful toward us. We just go about our business and sometimes don't even come back to say thank you. But God is yet faithful toward us. You know, sometimes we stray and do things that we know displease God. But he loves us enough to send his Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, who convicts us and lets us know God wasn't pleased with that. And all we have to do is turn around and ask for forgiveness, and he's quick to forgive us. God is so wonderful. He's so wonderful. Times when we withhold what's really his, we withhold our offering, we withhold our tithe, we withhold whatever it is that we could give to someone else. You know, we grumble and complain about that. But everything we have, God has given to us first. But when we do that, he continues to lift us up. He continues to hold us up. He continues to be faithful toward us, even when we're not faithful toward him. Isn't it wonderful? Everybody, whether they acknowledge God or not, they owe their last breath and their next one to our true and living God. You think about that. They owe the strength that they've used this day to navigate through this day to our true and living God. People don't have to come back and say thank you. Think about the 10 lepers. Jesus asked the one, weren't there 10 of you? Where are the other 9? You know, people experience the miraculous and the glory and the goodness of God in their lives every day, but everybody doesn't come back to say thank you. And yet everything we have comes from God, everything, whether or not men and women acknowledge it, because God says he causes the rain, the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. It rains upon the just and the unjust. You know, he holds us up. He takes care of us. He provides for us. He blesses those who don't even believe in him. I was reading about an unbeliever by the name of Christopher Hitchens, and I read that he wrote a book called God Is Not Real, How Religion Poisons Everything. He wrote that book, and he sold so many copies, millions of copies. And in the book, he's, you know, just debating every type of religious type of person that he can find. He's quick to give an answer. He's going on the concept that those who are believing in God are believing in something, and a concept that is not even necessary. That God is a concept that simply is not necessary. But look at that. Even with that, even though he, with his breath or with his talent or with his gift, he comes against the very God who created him, God yet has mercy. God didn't just squash him and do away with him. No, he blesses him. He has yet blessed him. The Lord yet provides for him. The Lord yet nourishes him, you know, gives him everything that he needs, because God is long-suffering, whether or not this man chooses to acknowledge God or not. God is faithful. He's faithful. And so God doesn't have to respond in a way like a lightning bolt every time people oppose him, because he's God. And, you know, without him, we can do nothing. And he knows that. So there is a time coming when, you know, all of those who have rejected him, the words of every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is the Lord. He is Lord. But even in this day, God shows mercy to those who, as we would think, don't deserve it. You know, because our God is compassionate. He's gracious. You know, he's loving. He's faithful. And sometimes we don't understand that. We're his children, but we don't understand that. That's why sometimes it's hard for us on a personal level to receive his forgiveness. I want you to think about this. Maybe there are areas in your life where you really have to forgive yourself, because God has already forgiven you, but you feel as though that whatever it is so great that there's no way you can get over it, that you have to continue to pay restitution for that. You have to continue to ask forgiveness for that, but God is the one who has determined that he is going to separate our sins as far as the east is from the west, as far as the heavens are from the earth. He's done that. If we'll yet just confess that we need him, that we believe upon him, and that he is our only source, because he is, eventually he's going to bring light to everything. Eventually he's going to judge all things, and he will judge impartially. He will. He's the only righteous judge. But in the meantime, we all enjoy his grace and his favor and his mercy. And I'm sharing this tonight because I want us to think about the fact that God reveals his compassion, you know, so wonderfully for his people and toward his people. You know, we don't need anybody to convince us that we're sinners. I mean, if we're honest, we don't need anybody to convince us that we fall short of the glory of God. And if we think about it long enough, you know, when we think about our lives, it'll cause us to run from God rather than to him. But the scriptures give us to know that we are to run to God because his heart is toward us. We're not a big disappointment. You know, he cares for us, so much so that he gave his only begotten son for us. That's what we need to be telling a lost and dying world. Psalm 103 and 14 says he remembers that we are dust. He remembers that. Listen, our lives are so fleeting. He remembers that we're dust. He knows that we're fragile. He knows that we're only here for a season and then we pass away. But he's made provision for us to be with him eternally. The challenge tonight, that tonight we share with someone else that there is a true and living God. We can't fool him. He knows more about us than we know about ourselves. And yet he loves us. And yet he's faithful toward us. And yet he wants us. He beckons and woos us to himself because he cares for us. We need to share this with others tonight. Give them to know that there is a God who cares. There's a God who's there wanting to meet their every need. You know, the world around us looks like things are pretty bleak. But let me tell you, God has put something deep down on the inside of you and on the inside of me that's going to cause us to stand even in perilous times. Now, don't go away from this message just holding on to the fact that, you know, the scripture is talking about our days being fleeting and as the grass and what have you. Yes, we're not here forever. But while we're here, we can make it count. Because had God dealt with us after our sins, there would be no hope, as verse 10 says. But see, he's blessed us. He's blessed us. He has richly favored us. And this is what I want us to take away from tonight's time together, is that you can stand in the midst of whatever it is you're facing tonight because God has blessed you. And as you continue in the process of dying to the flesh, we become more and more beautiful, you know, more and more appealing to those around us. Just as those leaves in the fall, we look across those trees and it looks so beautiful, so glorious. Nobody thinks about the fact that, wait a minute, what's happening is they're dying. You know, they're dying. They're in the process of dying and they're going to soon fall from the tree and dry up. But it's in that time that they become more and more beautiful. And that's what I want you and I to be mindful of, is that don't be afraid to let go of who you are, that Christ can become more prominent in your life. We die daily, that Christ may be reflected the more in us. It's a process. It's a process. But God has seen to it that we come out of it victorious, that we come out of it with him being glorified, with the church being edified and being built up. Oh, my goodness. People came from all over to see Jesus. They did, because he reflected the glory of the Father. That's what it's about. We want to reflect the glory of our Lord and our Savior as we go throughout our daily walk. Listen, I have one who wants to make a comment, so I'm going to go to this call. Are you there tonight? Do you have a comment tonight, a question?
Yes, I do. Thank you. I just want to tell you that it was a beautiful message tonight. And I was just thinking about this afternoon. I was thinking about my aunt, and I began to think about how great God is and how he said in his word, he would beautify you with meek and salvation.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get it that right, but he would beautify this.
With salvation.
And I was thinking about that today, and I said a lot of times, you know, we go around and we try to make up ourselves and do this and do the other, But we're losing sight on God, and we were just die-dealing to worldly stuff and die-dealing to things that God don't like. He will beautify us with salvation.
Mm.
And I was here because, you know, she's always been a beautiful lady, and she's 90 years old now and still beautiful because the Lord beautified her. And I was just thinking, and you was talking about how the trees, you know, how God, how beautiful the trees and things are. And God loves us the same way He loves us, and He will take care of us.
Amen. Amen. He will. Thank God for you, Mother. I appreciate you calling in. God bless you. Amen. Amen. We thank God. We thank God for that call, and we want to keep her lifted as the family is going through. I said earlier, there's some of us who are dealing with times of bereavement right now. We've lost loved ones, but just know that, you know, it's not the end for us. You know, that's a wonderful thing, the provision that God has made for us. We're not without hope. Oh, glory to God. We are not without hope. This is only a point in time that we deal with here in this world, but we are designed for eternity. Oh, glory to God. And we give God glory for that. He blesses us. He forgives us. He sustains us and upholds us. So we're so grateful to God tonight for His great plan. And I want you to be encouraged tonight. I don't know if there are any other comments tonight before we close out, but what I wanted you to do, to take away tonight, is that we are richer than we think. We're more blessed than we know, and we have more than we realize. Hold on to that. It's not what it looks like. God is rich in mercy, and He's made it such that no matter what you've come from, where you've been, what you've done, none of that can come back to keep you from your destiny. It cannot come back to haunt us. Look at Psalm 103. Read it in its entirety. It is a psalm that really speaks of the mercy and the faithfulness of our God. Hallelujah. And we thank God for all that He is to us on tonight. I thank Him for you. I bless Him for you and for your faithfulness in joining us. Be encouraged. Be encouraged tonight. God has great things in store for you. Amen. God, we thank you and we bless you on tonight. We give you glory, honor, and praise. Thank you for your great plan, and we are so grateful. You haven't dealt with us, Lord, after our sins, nor have you rewarded us according to our iniquities. But you've upheld us and you've sustained us, and we thank you. You're the God who forgives all of our iniquities, and you heal all of our diseases. You redeem our life from destruction, and you crown us, Lord God, with loving kindness and tender mercies. Thank you for it right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Listen, be with us again next week, Monday evening, for When Passion Meets Purpose, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We love you. Have a great evening, and continue to walk in favor.